Conversate for a few.
Welcome to another episode of Conversate for a Few. I'm Jonna.
I'm Alan. This is not a podcast about classical music.
Absolutely is not. This is a podcast about hip hop. What are you doing today, bro?
We're going to talk AI, ChatGPT, and its impact or possible impact on the future of music.
All right. Yeah.
And if anybody has looked into it at all, they'll understand why we're laughing and smiling.
Right.
If they think about and to talk about, if you mess with this in any shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah. If you dealt with it or if you play with it at all, then you kind of, then maybe you understand.
Yeah.
What's possible. I don't even know what it's, so maybe we start with the definition. We're like, what it is. What? Okay. So we said ChatGTP and, you know, AI, but the most popular AI right now is ChatGTP. We'll probably talk about a couple of other ones too, right? But because we're talking about ChatGTP primarily, I'm going to give people a definition of exactly what it is. All right.
Yeah.
So by their definition, it is a natural language processing tool driven by AI technology that allows you to have human-like conversations and much more with a chatbot.
Right. And the GPT, it stands for generator pre-training. What was the T?
It wasn't technology?
No.
All right, let's see what GTP stands for.
It's generator, and it's kind of redundant because it's saying the same thing, but generator pre-training. I don't know why.
Yeah, generator pre-trained transformer. Generative pre-trained transformer. I've never heard the word transformer being used that way. First, I'm gonna start there.
Right.
So, I guess that this AI is transforming this pre-trained information that the bot has. Right.
Like, so the data, because it's pulling from somewhere. So it generates based on pre-training, which has already been fed. It'll generate an output for you based on what has already been fed and transform it into something new for you.
Human-like.
Right.
Yeah. It'll condense into a human-like. It'll basically translate it to a conversation with you if you speak to it. If you communicate with it, chat with it, however you choose to chat. And the funny thing is, to me, is I think a lot of people are getting hung up on like the human aspect of it, or how human it is, but that part don't really freak me out that much. It don't speak to me as much.
Yeah.
I think the application of it speaks to me more than its ability to talk back and how well it talks back, you know. What did you feel? Because I know you dealt with it a little bit.
Yeah, so I think it's cool. I think it's going to have terrible impacts on writing books, making music, writing speeches, all of that. Personally, that's what I think. Right? Yeah. But if it was done and within the realm of having some limitations to it, it could be helpful too. It has the possibility to be a helpful tool, but I already see where it's going to go based on, you know, what I heard about it, what I learned and from interacting with it.
And based on how I know humans use tools, it'll probably cause a problem. But initially,
I don't usually do this, right?
Yeah.
But I'm gonna get up and grab something real quick.
Yeah. Oh shit! This is the first time on the show. That's what's up.
This book, See, this is the basis of all this, right? And you
the singularity is near.
The singularity is near. Right. And so he was the forerunner, you know, in the early 2000s, making predictions and about merging artificial intelligence with human biology and transcending human biology into straight artificial intelligence. So this AI that we're seeing, what they're doing is basically can actually take the place of humans and human creation musically and art wise to some degrees, like that, you know, this is a byproduct of that.
Yeah.
Cause we can get into robotics stuff that ties into it as well. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this one,
that was a nerdy sidebar.
A what?
A nerdy sidebar.
Oh man, shit. That's as sidebar should be. That's what they should be. So they, like you said, I can see it going really wrong for the arts as a whole, for writers, I put it to you this way. And people say, why would you think that? Like, who would think to use it that way? I told my girl about it, right? And we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to explain to her how transformative I think it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And I explained to her what it does and how it works, kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, like Siri. And I was like, nah, not like Siri. I said, not like Siri. You thinking Siri. I'm talking about iPhone. Siri had absolutely, I mean, for no impact at all across mm-hmm. the world as far as technology goes. The iPhone changed everything, right?
Right.
ChatGPT is the iPhone.
Yeah,
in my opinion, it's gonna change everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was like, well, try it. Just ask it to do something for you that you don't know how to do, that you can't do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You wanna know what the first thing she asked it to do was?
It was
write a rhyme.
Yeah, and I know what happened.
She was freaked out, nigga. She was like, "Wait!" It wrote a rhyme, and it was decent.
Right, it wrote two for me. I said, write one like Nas.
Right.
And use the lingo like that Nas would use.
Yeah.
And literally in the rap, it said, my smooth flow over tracks. Like, oh, you really trying to be like really, really trying to write like Nas.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you do. Then like, I said, give it a person. A
Drake type verse. It gave me a verse that was super comparable to any Drake verse you've heard.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. Okay, so one thing that I learned is that the more specific you are with it, just like Google, the better it works. But it's different. So with ChatGPT, you tell it who it is, tell it what it knows, tell it what its expertise is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I told it, for instance, this is what I told it. You are an expert at social media marketing, management, and engagement. You are knowledgeable in marketing, social media management, audience engagement, and online community building. I have a weekly hip-hop podcast, typically an hour in length, and does not have guests. Write me a marketing strategy and social media schedule for 3 months. The goal is YouTube subscriber growth, increase in views, and engagement on social media like Instagram and TikTok. Do you know, boy, it's going to be some niggas out of work out here. Because I'm not going to read y'all what it gave me. But I do this for a living. I do social media for a living. And it's what I would have given. It's the directions that I would have given somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I asked it to write me five New Jack Swing chords in the style of Teddy Riley.
Mm.
And it did it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And it did it. Yeah, it did it. I asked it to write me a chord progression in the style of Ahmad Jamal.
Mm.
And it did it. And gave me a summary of why it sounded this way. told me to switch my key to Dorian. I mean, and everything, dog. Like, it's... And I played those chords back. You know what I mean? I played them back. And they were akin to what you might hear on the Maj Moore album. Like, you just had to put them in the right rhythm, you know? Yeah, yeah. But, so, this thing, bro.
Yeah, so, that's the thing. You can have nothing, and it gives right. you a great, great starting point and a basis where you just have to make little modifications and tweaks to fit exactly mm-hmm. what you want. But that's 100% progress compared to someone having writer's block or can't come up with something. You just say this, and it gives you something. Because right. let's keep it in mind, this is the thing that people, I feel like, tend to forget. Particularly those who take the position that computers are smarter than people. Let's be clear, right. computers didn't make itself. They are programmed by us. Their data that they're running off of is from us. You know right. what I mean? And they're taking that and at times randomizing it and then recreating, putting stuff together. So saying all of that to say, it's like, a person, an artist, could basically have this thing do its whole album, song, and music for them. And then...
Eventually, you
make tweaks. Because it's still in early stages. But you can make tweaks. But, like, say if you don't have any starting point. And that's my point about, like, speeches. Like...
Right.
Like, imagine right. how many human speeches there are. So if they have right. all of those human speeches downloaded, right, or they have that information to pull from to produce something new, I mean, the possibilities of what it could come out and spit you out is, like, infinite.
I mean, yeah, obviously, because you could tell it, you could tell ChatGPT to write you a speech in the style and tone of President Obama about a specific topic with the goal of encouraging this specific group of people to do something specific. And it'll do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it'll do that. So if that's the case, then you could tell it to write you a song in the style of Barry Manilow. You know what I mean? That is about this type of heartbreak that will be attractive to this type of person.
Right, right. So let's get into it, because we're here at really the door of it. Also, it can duplicate voices.
Yeah.
From what I've heard.
I don't know if it's this one. I don't think it's ChatGPT that does that, but I looked up the one that does it the other day, and I just wasn't willing to pay, so I didn't do it.
Yeah. Okay.
But they have, because yeah, it definitely exists.
They was talking about doing the actual, like, I mean, all the artists' voices are known. They could just take the Jay-Z voice and
I wish I knew the name of that site right off the top of my head. Yeah, I wish I knew the name of that site right off the top of my head. But you write the text, whatever you decide you want it to say, and you choose whose voice you want it to model. But that costs quite a grit. But who cares? If that's what somebody wants to do, they don't care what it costs. They're going to do it.
Yeah. If you got access to, and then think about it. This is crazy. This was crazy. When they looking forward 10, 15 years in the future, when all this stuff is perfected, right? And out of its beta form, like, so now you can get the actual sound tone, let's say, of a Jay-Z verse, right? We got all the data. They have all the data of all of Jay-Z catalogs. They could take one rhyme and rearrange all of the words and just draw from and pull up something new.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, I mean, it's great because, like, when I think about, like, right, when I typed in, like, write a verse that sound like Nas or write a verse that sound like Drake. Well, I'm just assuming where they got to pull from, like, a catalog of Drake, they based on the music that's out that they're familiarized with of Drake. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it can, I mean, you can eventually, this is where it's going. I'm looking forward to the future projecting. You can end up with an album that sounds exactly like Drake with his flow style and even mimic the production of whoever. I mean, that's nuts.
Yeah, that's going to be super possible. Like, I don't see a world where that's not possible. I don't see a world where that's not possible. That I do believe, though, just to see how it could come about, I could see that being something that fans could play with until labels figure out that fans are making stuff that they think is viable and listening to it. You know what I mean? And enjoying it. Once the labels realize that fans are making user-generated content out of this stuff that, you know, that's viable in the marketplace, they'll take it over. And they'll either charge for it or create artists of their own. Maybe they already tried to create an AI artist.
Yeah, they were saying that there's been one AI song released. And I forgot who it was.
Oh, sure, but you remember they released the AI artist.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, so it's not like they're not going to try it. I think the only reason that didn't work is because labels overshot like what's cool and what would be acceptable. It was cartoonish. It was buffoonery. But I think, in all honesty, that some user-generated content, somebody's going to find a medium where they're making something that is acceptable as art and music, and people are going to accept it, but it's going to be created via AI. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And honestly, we at a point right now that I feel we were at a similar point earlier in hip hop. I think this is a lot larger than hip hop, but to keep it really focused here, this is very similar to me to when Fruity Loops hit the scene.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, that's not it. Like, that's not really how you do it. You know what I mean? Like, that's not art. You're not really chopping your samples. You're just letting the computer do it. Yada, yada, yada. The purists were pushing back, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody is going to find a way to use this AI, like to use AI and push their art with it. You know what I mean? Because that's pretty much what Ninth did. He found out a tool that allowed him to push his art. Not to say, you know what I mean, what he was doing was anywhere near as fake as AI, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it was a tool that was new to the culture, and the culture wasn't used to it. And I think this is something very similar, where hip hop as a whole may not be ready for it, but I think the kids that are immersed in technology are going to be ready for it. And we're going to have to be ready to hear music that's done with this technology.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And one of the reasons I say that is because this version of ChatGPT was just released in November, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said it reached 100 million users in 2 months.
Yeah.
2 months. It took Facebook like 5 years to reach 100 million users. Granted, that was a lot longer ago, and we're a lot more immersed in social media and technology than we were then. Right. But that just goes to say that how apt people are going to be to use this. Like, they're far more early adopters of technology than they were during that time. So you're going to get more people using it, and more people, you know, enjoying it, and then becoming a part of their lives quickly. You know, they say it's the fastest consumer facing application in history, in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Oh man. So I asked, did it ever tell you anything that was absolutely wrong?
No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get anything that was absolutely wrong. But to be honest, I don't think I asked anything that would have been given a wrong answer.
Okay, I totally movie, understand like, that too.
That was like it wasn't like some scarce knowledge. It was known information.
Right, right. So you know, I asked it to give me all the samples in Pete Rock and CEO Smooth song Straighten It Out.
Yeah, they didn't get that right.
Fucked it all up, son.
Yeah.
But it gave me an answer. That's the crazy thing. It gave me an answer. So if I didn't know it was wrong, I might would have accepted that answer. It was dead wrong, though. But it answered it. It gave me a nice synopsis. It gave me, but and it gave me three different, the drums came from here. They got the rhythm from this. And I'm like, word? And then I went and looked it up. I was like, ah, this is bullshit. That's not right. So yeah, I asked it about Mobb Deep, Temperature Rising. Wrong again. Wrong again. I'm like, all right. Well. So then I started to argue with it. I wanted to know why it felt comfortable giving me bad answers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, why you keep telling me the wrong thing? You know what I mean? Like, if you don't know, just say you don't know.
Right, right.
And so I asked it, you know, what is this? I know the answer, and you're wrong again. Why not just ask me? Or have you not picked up on the fact that I know the answer yet? This is what I asked ChatGPT. This speaks to it being human, right? I apologize. Right. This is what it said. I apologize for the continued incorrect responses. As an AI language model, I do not have the ability to know or infer the knowledge of the person I'm communicating with. I rely on the training and data and sources available to me to provide accurate information. And when I'm unsure of an answer, I may provide incorrect information. I apologize for any confusion or frustration this has caused. To answer your original question, the song Temperature Rising by Mobb Deep, and it continues to give me another wrong answer.
Wow. See, that's part of the problem. But
yeah.
I'm sure they're probably going to try to work those types of things out.
But they're going to have to, because I asked it, if I provide the correct answer, would the information be retained? Right? As an AI language model, I don't have the ability to retain or remember information outside of a single session with a user. Each time I interact with a user, I start with a blank slate and provide responses based on the input provided during that session. So even if you were to provide the correct answer to a previous question, I would not remember it from session to session. However, I am always learning and can improve based on the feedback I receive from users. If you provide the correct information to a question that I've answered incorrectly, I can use that feedback to improve my performance in the future. That sounds like two different answers.
You gave two different answers because first you said you couldn't memorize nothing. Right now you're saying you can use it, the feedback, you know what I mean, moving forward in the future to improve yourself, basically.
See, I'm glad you heard it too. It's so a liar too.
It gives you guidance.
It could be wrong and lie. Yeah, it could do both, give you bad information and
well, it really is a human.
Wow. Cut it out. It's too human for that. Yeah, that yeah. Yeah. That cause that ain't nothing but spin it was just giving me. That was spin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's spin. That's not real. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know whether the well, I think I do know. Because I don't think it's going to matter whether the kids think it's cool or not.
But here's the thing, because it's going to get to the point where, and we, you know, I tested out some other places where I could just say, give me a 90s sounding hip hop beat or a trap beat.
Yeah.
And gave it to me. And this,
I did
this
that too.
Yeah, this is now. In 10 years, give me a DJ Premier beat. It's going to be so accurate and sound just like any other Premiere beat. They'll give me a rhyme that sound like Nas. They're going to be able to give it. And they can mimic the voice. They can give us a whole new Nas album. So what I'm saying is, how do you feel about that?
I'm going to be honest with you, bro. Like, I feel like it sucks, but it ain't really nothing I can do about it. Because it's coming.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, go ahead.
No, because what I was going to say is because it's going to get into all types of licensing things and it's going to get crazy.
Now, what I was going to add, hold on, not to cut you, going to add to that statement is when people are creating, and that is where the art's coming from, and that's what it's going to be, and we using these platforms to create it, right? The question is going to be who owns it. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the question. Because if you go inside ChatGPT and have it write you a rhyme because you gave it some parameters, or you go inside Kaber and have it make you a video because you gave it parameters, you know what I mean, or whatever. You go inside that app that we use to make beats and you gave it parameters and it spits out a beat, whatever. But you didn't make any of that, and it all came from the platform. I guarantee you those platforms are going to have some terms and conditions where they retain ownership of what it is you're trying to put out.
Right. And so my thing would be this about, because you're going to be paying for this. So say your monthly subscription to this is $80 a month or whatever the case is. So how does that work? You know what I mean? If I'm paying for it.
I mean, it's terms and conditions. It's tiered. Yeah. Like, of course, there's going to be a free version. Then there's going to be a paid version where you get a couple more perks, but it's still got the watermark on it. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be a version where it's a studio version. Mm-hmm. Where pretty much what you make in here is like, it's yours.
So, man, we might should call this art gone digitally AI. I don't know.
Yeah, art gone AI. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, see, I'm looking at artists being replaced, labels being replaced. You know, like, okay, people first made bread. I mean, I know some people that still actually make their own bread. But, like, you get tired of making bread. So then you made a bread maker. Now we make many bread makers. Now nobody have to make no bread. So that's replaced. Right. So what happens when... like Nas, I don't gotta sign anyone, give no anyone advance. I got all of the voices, tonations, styles. Yep. I can put this in this AI, and it can generate me an artist that sounds like Lil Yachty, Lil Uzi Vert, anybody, and get the same music and do it and put out new hits. Why would I need any? To pay any human artist. The only point where I see a need for that would be actual touring or like live performances. But then I don't know because of the virtual world.
Yeah, they're gonna be performing in the metaverse, bro. It's gonna be avatars. That's what it is.
So that might don't even matter.
Holograms and shit. Like
right. So we might be looking at the apocalypse of music and art.
I've seen it do
pictures, sketch pictures, and photographs. Yeah. A real popular photographer had a whole post today talking about this AI photography stuff. It's wild. It's looking like all this just come in and just replace all the arts.
Yeah, well, this is slightly a sidebar, but I think the AI arts and this kind of stuff is going to be for the, I hate to say it this way, but the lower class and the natural arts and actual live venue shows are going to be for the people with the upper crust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you can see that in the way the ticket prices are being delineated today. So like going to see a live show is starting to become a status symbol. Like the car that you drive. Being able to go see Beyonce is almost like having you know what I mean? Cause you gotta go out of your way to be able to do it. You're gonna have to go to a new city. You're gonna pay a couple grand for the tickets. You know what I mean? All this is that's a fucking vacation. Yeah. When before you caught somebody if they came to Greensboro, then cool. But if not, you know what I mean? But it ain't like, but that's, it's not what it is anymore. They're being divided as I can see it. So I can see that the more mindless art, the more, you know what I mean? The stuff that's being just completely regenerated will be for the masses. Right. And the masses will be creating their own content. We'll be entertaining each other. Right. You know what I mean? Well, y'all will be entertaining y'allselves, but I'm gonna be up there with jamming. I ain't fucking with y'all.
And so based on what you had just said, so you're saying the actual AI, right, technology,
yeah,
it is going to actually produce a more pronounced divide between classes of people.
Yeah, I think that'll be one of the spaces that you'll be able to see the divide.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be visible in certain areas, just like it's visible now, if you know where to look, you know. But I think it's going to be more visible in that way. Like, if you're looking at that, you'll be able to see, okay, but damn. You know, because so many more people have access to this thing. We can make it cheaper. It's far more meaningless, you know.
Right.
So I can see that happening. I can see the industry taking advantage of it that way.
Right.
Which is sad, but and I do think it's already happened.
Yeah.
Like with ticket prices and the way they're doing them now, like I just don't understand. You know, if you started making music, I mean, I understand inflation, but if you started making music 20 years ago, that fan that fell in love with you, that was able to see you for $50, that ticket now is $1,500. Inflation ain't that damn much.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, he like, come on, bro. Yeah. Like, that don't even make sense. That don't make sense.
Mm.
So, another thing I had it do that I asked it to do, this is what I told it. You an expert at, did I read this already? The community building one, the online, the TikTok and all that, where I told it to be a social media manager?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I read that, right? Yeah. So, yeah. So that strategy that it gave me, this is going to be useful. If people understand how to use it, it's going to be useful for social media. It's going to be useful for marketers, especially people that don't know how to write. Like, you have a lot of artists that don't really know how to write for social media. They don't really understand what they should be doing. You know what I mean? You tell ChatGPT to write it, and it'll write it.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll be, if you're detailed enough about who you are, it'll be pretty close to what you would have said.
Right.
This is, you know, and I think that's going to be extremely helpful for independent artists, marketers, labels, social media managers, anybody in and around the music industry that's writing anything. I think it could be helpful until it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because what you end up with.
No, I was going to say, it'd be helpful until it's not. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, because I think what you end up with is kind of a hall of mirrors where I cannot be an expert, but talk to you as if I'm an expert because I asked ChatGPT. You don't know if I'm right or wrong, so you're following my instructions. I don't know if I'm right or wrong because I'm following ChatGPT.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now we're just in the, now we're in that echo chamber.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's wrong as shit. We have no idea.
Right.
You know, so I think there's a lot of room for that too. So I think that's where it would go wrong. I think it's helpful until we get to that point. It's helpful until we have non-experts pretending to be experts based on the information that they get from a bot. You know, if you're an expert at music and you ask it a music question, then I think you may be able to trust the answer. If you're an expert at code and you ask it a code question, I think you may be able to trust the answer. You know what I mean? Like, if you're an expert at speech writing and you ask it to write a speech, then maybe you could trust what it says along with some tweaks. You see what I mean? Because you know what a speech to say. But if you hire me to write the speech and I ask ChatGPT to do it, you just might be screwed.
Right. Now, here's the crazy thing, as I was thinking about this, about it giving you wrong answers. Like, I think it's always going to be imperfect. I think at some point it's always going to give out a wrong answer. And the reason I say that, is because one of the things in dealing with the singularity of emerging artificial intelligence with the human biology, one of the problems they've had and still having is that they still cannot fully map the human brain.
Right.
The human brain is so complex, they still actually don't even know exactly where consciousness come from. They know how where consciousness is happening in the brain and where to look for it in the neural tissue, but they don't know like how it happens. But the brain is so complex, they still haven't mapped it out to find out how it works yet. They haven't figured out 50% of the human brain, right? And they still are trying to map it because they want to create an artificial simulated brain, right? Mm-hmm. And they just have not had the computing power or been able to do it. So I'm thinking, and they've been doing that longer than they've been working on this. This may be giving you wrong answers for a very long time into the future now that I think about it. So I'm saying that to say we can't fully rely on it. We can only use it as a tool.
Right. I mean, something you said earlier let me know that it's going to be wrong. It's going to give you some wrong answers forever because we are feeding its data. And we are flawed. We are wrong. Some of that data is going to be wrong because it came from us. So even if it gave you the best of its data, inherently, sometimes it's going to be wrong. And we have to act on it like that. Like you said, it's only a tool. Just like Google was a tool. You can't Google, but we know people that Google things and tell you, I Googled it. So I know it's true.
Right.
We know people that do that. And we know how ridiculous that is.
Yeah.
I read it in Wikipedia. I know it's true. They don't realize that anybody could go in there and adjust a Wikipedia account.
Right. Anybody.
You know what I mean? Anybody. It's an open platform. Anybody can write a Wikipedia, but people trust it like it was Britannica.
Right.
Like it was World Book. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to be extra careful in this AI world. Now, one thing we can't be careful with is people's tendency to enjoy. I can leave the sentence just like that. We can't be careful with people's tendency to enjoy. People are going to take in content. People are going to listen to mindless music. People are going to listen to stuff that's created by AI because the general public don't care where the art come from. They don't even care if it's art.
Right.
So, so as soon as one of these things pop, the way we're talking about it is if it could be down the road, one of these things could pop this summer and the floodgates be open by this time next year.
Yeah. And that just might be the case.
Yeah.
Like the thing about the virtual art on Instagram, you could do whatever and it would create virtual art of you. Everybody did that. I saw everybody doing that, posting their VI portraits.
Everybody, that Lenza joint, mm-hmm. Everybody was on it, and it was making some dope pics. But I was like, you know what? That this is a kind of a sidebar, but you know that kind of. It kind of rubbed me a little bit. I was like, damn, this many people want to see themselves completely, not completely different, but like enhanced.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like this many people are dying to see themselves enhanced. And we're using them like their profile pic. Like this is what you look like. Nah.
Right.
That's AI. Just like it ain't really what you sound like when you making AI beats. It ain't really what you sound like when you write AI songs. It's not what you sound like. It's not what you would have written.
Right.
You know?
And I guess that'll be another thing, too, how to know the difference.
Well, I don't know that you'll know the difference. I don't know that you'll know. Right. I mean, you got to think about it. With the amount of auto-tune that's on a voice nowadays, how would you know that you listen to a robot versus a human?
You wouldn't.
You couldn't. There's no way.
Right, so I asked that because does that create a problem for you? Or
yeah,
are you fine with it?
I'm not fine with it. I'm not fine with it. I am not fine with it. You know what I mean? I'm not fine with it, but I don't know what I could do.
Right, right, right.
So I don't know that I'm going to spend my whole, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know that I'm going to let this get under my crawl, because I don't, it's just something to talk about and something, well, it's something to talk about. And being a creative is something that to learn how to use, because if you don't know how to use it, somebody's going to take your job using it.
Right. That's the other part.
Yeah. So I'm going to use it. I'm not sitting here saying I might not use it to make music, but I did ask it to write me 5 New Jack Swing chord progressions in the style of Teddy Riley. I just wanted to see if it was going to do it. But if I played them and it sounded good, you don't think I'm going to make a beat with them shits?
Yeah, I
am.
Good. So that's the other thing I get into. Would this be akin to sampling?
That's why I laid it out like Fruity Loops. Cause it's not the act, it's the software that enhances the act.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the software that'll allow you. It's not the act of having someone else write chords for you. It's the act of having a machine that can create chords, and then I could go play with those chords. Because the way it writes it, I promise you ain't gonna be the way it sounds in the song. Yeah, I'm gonna have to adjust them. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's just. So is that? And that's akin to sampling.
Yeah.
I'm getting the content from somewhere else. I'm making the adjustments to fit what I'm trying to do. People do it with stems. People do it with beat packs. People do it with sample packs. They do it all types of stuff. This is just a newer, more detached, a far more detached version of what we've been doing. But do I like it? Nah, hell no.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I don't like it because of where it could go. It could put us in a dangerous space.
Right.
You know? So it's just like you saw, and if y'all are watching this, then y'all can go to Conversate for a Few, @Conversate. No, I'll put it up there. Yeah, go to @Conversate for a Few on Instagram. And you'll be able to see a video that I created for one of my partners, Marshant. He got a song called 96 I Hate You's, unreleased, right? So I dropped it into this joint called Kyber, K-A-I-B-E-R. Kyber.ai is what it's called. Mm-hmm. You drop a song in there, you can drop pictures in there, and give it a description of what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the one that you saw, Alan, I told it that I wanted a breakup song. I wanted it to look like it was a troubled couple going through a breakup, but it was futuristic, and I wanted it to be a cinematic. I wanted it to look like a cinematic oil painting.
Mm.
And what you saw is what it came up with. Shit was pretty impressive, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was.
Yeah. And I'm talking about it's moving with the music. It's kind of telling a story. It's doing what it was supposed to do. And that's $15 a month. You know what I mean? No watermark, no nothing. So if it's creating a video, and if you go through their portfolio, SZA used it for, like, if you go to, I think it's either her Apple Music screen or her Spotify screen, one of those joints was created with this app. So people the industry starting to use it already. So it won't be that 5 or 10 years that we're talking about. It's gonna happen a lot faster than that. It's gonna happen a lot faster than that. How do you feel about it? You asked me, like, are you okay with it?
No, I'm not okay with it. Because it's too easy for it to go too left.
Yeah. Yeah. It is going to.
Going to do, and I'm sure that's what it's going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see a world in where this doesn't go bad.
Yeah.
For art. I don't understand how it don't. Like, it's going to be, it'll get to the point, and maybe people don't care. You see what I'm saying? Like, maybe people don't care. Because people that do what I do can remember a time where they did what I do by hand.
Yeah.
Like, typesetting. Like, shit. When I was in high school, I took graphic design. Everything we did in that class was by hand. It wasn't much that we do now, that I do now, that we didn't do in that class, but we did it all by hand. Logo design, business cards, printing, developing photos, all that good shit was done by hand at that point in time. Now, there was a generation of designers before me that did even more by hand.
Right.
And I've had conversations with those people and those offset printers, you know what I mean, all types of people that had careers that were, you know, that disappeared. Because technology changed it. They were, you know what I mean? Those people, everything that I was taught, not everything, the only thing that exists still that was in that graphic design department in high school that I saw at my last, you know what I mean? Like, the last time I was in a print shop, was the thing that jog stuff and get it all in order. Everything else was different. Everything else was gone. Jogger. The jogger. The stuff that puts everything straight.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that was the same. Everything else is gone. Everything.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. Because, see, that's the thing. At least technology, as we know it and have been introduced to it in this world, is that technology is basically function is to take the place of something that already exists and had functionality. And it just takes the place of it and does it either more accurate or faster.
Right. It's about efficiency and comfortability. That's what technology is. It's supposed to make your life more efficient and more comfortable. Yeah, but this is going to make life uncomfortable for a whole lot of people long term. We'll be doing, inshallah, we'll be doing this show 5-10 years from now, and we'll be talking about how the music industry is laying off and suffering because AI has replaced so many marketing people, so many video directors, so many recording engineers,
right? Because songwriters. Right, because that's the one thing about business. If you run a business or anyone has ran a business, you always want to cut down on your overhead. Which you spend and you keep the business up. So if the industry finds out, I don't need a video. I don't need a videographer. I can type in what we want the video to look like. It can generate it for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Imagine Kyber or Kaber in X amount of years, what it's going to be able to do.
Right.
If it just did what you posted already.
Right. Already. And it can do more. It could do more. That's what it did on the $15 level because I didn't want to pay. They got a version that says if you want to have a Kyber studio of your own, let's talk. So yeah. Which may be smart if you're in the video creation and marketing right now.
Yeah,
bless you. It's probably in your best interest to have a Kyber account and have a studio built where you could add some AI effects to your actual to the things that you're doing for your clients.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like I said, it's going to put some people out of work, but some people until it puts everybody out of work, the people that know how to use it first will still be able to do it. Like, the creatives that learn to use this AI as a tool first will still have a job. They'll have a job longer than the other ones. We all eventually going to be out of here.
Yeah.
But learning to use them, beat them. What do they say? If you can't beat them, join them. So you join up until they run you off the board.
Yeah. This is like more self-checkout lines being produced.
Yes. Exactly what it is. Self-checkout. Yeah, so. I loathe self-checkout.
Yeah.
I do. I loathe it. I feel like if I'm going to go through self-checkout, then I should get a discount on my items.
That's
one less employee you had to pay. You didn't have to pay nobody to come over here and do this.
Right. Now so I'm doing what the employee used to do.
Exactly.
I gotta scan it and I got to bag it. I didn't have to do that before.
There you go.
I had an employee that scanned me bag. So I there should get a discount. Yeah.
I should get a discount. Right. Mm-hmm. And anybody listening to this fake ass AI music and watching these fake ass AI videos should get a discount on their content.
Yeah.
Going forward. Like, it's gonna get ugly, man. Like, we can't keep ending these podcasts on morbid stuff, man. We gotta find a topic that's good, like that's happening.
I know.
Yeah, you know I mean, because the last one was what, the crossover? That ended bad. Yeah. The one before that was what? Are labels responsible? That ended bad. Well, that ended with us being responsible. So I don't know if we call that bad, but
right.
But this don't seem like it's going nowhere fast, bro. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
but I am going to use it.
Yeah, I generally though, long run, do not see it being good for hip hop, but music in general.
Yeah,
but for sure.
I don't see it. I agree with your statement. I don't see it being good for the arts.
Mm-hmm.
I do see it being good for the industry that
deals
in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sure. Because I think we've gotten to a place where we've gotten people so far away from the art that sticks to your bones, I think the industry will be able to sustain itself on fluff for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, they'll sustain themselves on fluff for a very long time, and then they'll realize an era or two later that they don't have the assets that they do now, where they won't have catalogs that are worth $500 million, but they don't have catalogs that are worth $300 million. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Alan, maybe we seeing a run on catalogs.
What'd you say?
Yeah, maybe we seeing a run on catalogs is because somebody out there knows that they're gonna stop.
That's what I was about to. That's what I was about to go with it. When we were trying to find out why to buy all these catalogs and people are selling. Yeah, they know where this is going.
Yeah.
10 years, you ain't gonna be able to sell the catalog for $300 million.
It ain't gonna be worth a damn in 3 years.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. 10 years. I mean,
not with what is coming out. No.
Yeah. So go ahead and start getting them now. It won't look like nothing crazy because we super early. You know what I mean? So when the AI music starts to proliferate and it's a run on the old music, we up.
Mm-hmm.
We did it early. Because it's going to be a run on that music.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's going to be more valuable because, the mm-hmm. current stock is going to be less valuable, so it's going to make what we already have in the stash more valuable.
Yeah,
bro, we might have uncovered one just then.
Yeah,
we might have. Yeah, that might be something right there.
Yeah,
so that might be one of the reasons. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not a bad note. That's a good note.
A good note. And that's something that we can really look at. Like that, though, now we know what questions to ask. We at least have a theory, because before we didn't have a theory at all.
Right.
We had kind of ideas, but no real theory. At least we got a theory, so we know what questions to ask if we ever get the opportunity,
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. That's good. Wow. Wow, bro. Oh, man. So what's the first thing you're going to write with AI? What's the first thing you're going to officially use?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know.
All right, I can tell you.
I'm not even sure.
I had it write me a pretty comprehensive meal plan and workout schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to use it. And the meal plan, when it first wrote it, it had foods on there that I don't like. So I told it to rewrite it, replace these foods with something else, but keep the same but higher nutritional value. So I got it kind of, you know what I mean, mapped out. You know what I mean? I'm probably going to go back in and tweak out the exercises to kind of tell it who I am a little bit more and what I'm trying to do and how long I'm trying to sustain it to get it to write me a little bit better workout plan. But I think I'm going to use it for that. I'm going to use that. This marketing strategy that it just wrote, I'm going to use that.
Products.
Yeah, I'm going to use it for that.
Like that. Marketing.
Yeah. I'm looking. I'm
photography business.
Right. That would be dope.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So those, I'm definitely going to use it for that. I'm some of these tips that they have in this marketing strategy right here are spot on. We just hadn't done them yet. So they're going to get done. So it ain't all bad. We came up on a new theory. Mm-hmm. We're not optimistic, but no. Hey, we can't change it either. And you know, the serenity prayer, what it say, accept the things you cannot change. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know it, but I know the intent.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. You think we gave them enough on this one?
I think so. And I think we ended on a higher note than was expected.
I think so too. Yeah, that makes me happy because I was worried there for a second. You feel me? Yeah, man. I guess with that being said, man, I'm going to have y'all go subscribe and hit the notification bell on YouTube. Go subscribe to the Facebook and the Instagram at Conversate for a Few. Stay tuned for the limited edition Futane Clan merch. Guess with that, I'm Jonna.
I'm Alan. This was not a podcast about classical music.
Absolutely was not. This was a podcast about hip hop. Make room for the tag.
Conversate for a few. Conversate for a few. Hustle. Welcome, man, they had to send me. Hustle from Raleigh, live from NC, with your hosts, John and Alan. Relate to the two. You are now listening to Conversate for a Few. Check it on SoundCloud, debate with your crew. They talking hip-hop from the late to the new. From July till June end, no Fridays for me, tune in. Please listen to this podcast. 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 Please listen to this podcast.